B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Beit Daf Yud Zayin. We're going to start two lines from the top of the Omid. Says the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, Yom Tov Shechol Yais B'Shabbos. It doesn't say Shabbos Shechol Yais, but Yom Tov, because the main focus on a Yom Tov is always the Yom Tov that Shabbos is just added on. Yom Tov Shechol Yais B'Shabbos. There's a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as to how the Shmoyne Esra was said. Beis Shammai Oimrim Mispadel Shmoyne, that in the regular tefillas, one says eight brochis. Va'omer shel Shabbos bifnei atzmo, v'shel Yom Tov bifnei atzmo. Then there's the first three brochas are the regular three brochas of Shmoyne Esra. The last three brochas are the regular three brochas at the end of every Shmoyne Esra. In the middle, there's two brochas. There's one brocha for Shabbos, and there's another brocha for Yom Tov. Beis Hillel Oimrim, Beis Hillel argue with Beis Shammai and say, Mispalil Sheva. That's what we do. There's only one bracha in the middle, which is the Yom Tov bracha. And what he does is maschil b'shel Shabbos. The bracha starts mentioning Shabbos. V'sitein lonu, I'm quoting Rashi. V'sitein lonu es yom ha-menucha hazeh. And then u'mesayim b'shel Shabbos and finishes with Shabbos. Boruch ato Hashem mekadish ha-Shabbos. And we don't mention Yom Tov in the bracha at the end. Va'oimer kedushas hayom be'emtza. And in the middle, after the one says v'sitein lonu es yom ha-menucha hazeh, one says, Ve'es Yom Chag Ploini, Chag, whatever it is, Chag Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, whatever the Yom Tov is, in the middle of the Bracha. But at the end of the Bracha, one does not mention the Yom Tov, one only mentions the Shabbos. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi, a third opinion, argues and says, Af Chosim Bo, that not only do you mention Yom Tov in the middle of the Bracha, this middle bracha, the seventh bracha, so to speak, but the middle bracha, not only do you mention Yom Tov in the middle bracha, but also at the end of the bracha, you mention the Yom Tov, and you say, Mekadesh HaShabbos Yisrael V'azmanim, and you mention not only Mekadesh HaShabbos, and you also mention Yisrael V'azmanim. And we'll note that Shabbos is mentioned before the Yisrael and the Zmanim. Toni kamed Ravina. The person that was reading the Brises before Ravina, he read this to Ravina, but he didn't say Mekadesh HaShabbos Yisrael V'Hazmanim. This Chochem that was reading the Brises to Ravina, he actually said Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hashabbos V'Hazmanim. He mentioned Yisrael before Shabbos. Omer Leis Ravina said to this Chacham, Otu Shabbos Yisrael Mekachele. It seems that the sequence is a sequence which is not by chance. It's telling us how things came about, as if Klal Yisrael are responsible for being Mekadesh Shabbos and for being Mekadesh the Zmanim. We know that Klal Yisrael are responsible for the Kedusha, for the sanctity of the Yomim Tovim, because Yomim Tovim are dependent on the month, unlike Shabbos, which is dependent on the week. A month, unlike the week, which just 7 days goes round, the month has a beginning, starts with a Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh only starts when the Chachmei Yisrael determine it's Rosh Chodesh. They say Mekudesh, Mekudesh. So now Ravina was asking, Otu Shabbos Yisrael Mekachiluhu? Are Klal Yisrael responsible for the Kedushas Shabbos that it makes sense to say Mekadesh Yisrael v'Shabbos v'Hazmanim v'Shabbos Mekachu v'Kaimo? Shabbos is Kodesh on its own right. Every seventh day from the beginning of creation, the seventh day is Shabbos, and Shabbos is Kodesh on its own right. Elo'ema, what you should say is Mekadesh HaShabbos. First, you should say Mekadesh HaShabbos, and then mention Yisrael v'Hazmanim, as we saw that Rebbe said in the Braisa before, Mekadesh HaShabbos Yisrael v'Hazmanim, and that is the minig that we follow in our Machzorim. You'll notice that is how we end the bracha on Yom Tov Shechol Lios b'Shabbos. Omer Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Halacha k'Rebbe. Number one, halacha is like Rebbe, that you mention Yom Tov at the end of the bracha, not like Beis Hillel that says that you don't mention Yom Tov in the bracha. Ukadatoritz Ravina, and the way that Ravina explained that we mention first Shabbos and then Yisrael and then Vazmanim. Continues the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon Shabbos Shechol Liyos Barash Chodesh. Here we mention Shabbos first because we're talking about Shabbos, which is also Rosh Chodesh. So the main tefillah is a Shabbos Digger tefillah. We also mention Rosh Chodesh with it. Shabbos Shechol Liyos B'Rosh Chodesh, Oy B'Choloi Shel Moed, or a Shabbos Chol HaMoed, and on a regular Chol HaMoed, we daven a regular Shmoneh Esrei. We don't add on extra brachas for Chol HaMoed. We're talking here about the regular tefillahs, of which we're about to see, Arvis v'Shacharis or Mincha, the regular Ma'ariv, Shacharis, and Mincha. When Chol HaMoed, we don't add on a bracha, and on Rosh Chodesh also not. So the question is, how do we do this? It's talking about Shabbos. Shabbos, how many brachas are there in a regular Shabbos tefillah? There's seven brachas, Mispalel Sheva. Like every single Shabbos, that there's seven brachas. There's three brachas at the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei, three brachas at the end, and one in the middle, which ends with Mekadesh HaShabbos. However, because it's also Rosh Chodesh or also Chol HaMoed, you add in something to make mention of the fact that it's not just a regular Shabbos, it's a Shabbos with Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed. Va'omer me'en ha-mo'ira, you mention the mo'ira, the happening, you mention the uniqueness of this day, which is that it's also Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed ba'avoida, which means that you say Yalev Yovoy in Avoida, that's in the bracha of Rotzei before Zachzeno, we say the bracha of Yalev Yovoy. And in Yalev Yovoy, we either mention Rosh Chodesh or we mention the Chol HaMoed, we mention the Moed. Vimloy Omar, if you didn't say Yalev Yovoy, Machzir Noisoy, then he has to go back. Rabbi Eliezer says you don't say Yalev Yovoy in Avoida, as we do, rather Bohido, in the same place that we say Al Hanisim on Chanukah and Purim, over there in the Moedim Bracha, that's where you mention the Rosh Chodesh and the Chol HaMoed. So that's all regarding the Ma'ariv, Shacharis, and Mincha. Uba Musafin. However, when it comes to Musaf, Maschil B'Shel Shabbos, you start off mentioning the regular Shabbos Musaf. Umasayim B'Shel Shabbos, and you mention at the end of the bracha, you just say Mekadish HaShabbos. Vo'imir Kedushas Hayim B'Emtza. And in the middle, you also mention the Kedushas Hayim. You mentioned either the Rosh Chodesh or the Chol HaMoed. B'Shimon Ben Gamliel, V'Rabbi Shmuel B'Noish Rabbi Yechonon Ben Baraika, they were a pair of Chachomim, and they said, Oimrim, they said, Kol Mokim Shehuzkak L'Sheva, whenever you need seven brachas, even on a regular Shabbos, Maschil B'Shel Shabbos, you start off with Shabbos, Umasayim B'Shel Shabbos, and you finish off with Mekadish HaShabbos, V'Oimr Kedushas Hayoim B'Emtza, and you say the Kedushas Hayoim in the middle. Which means that even a Shacharis, Mincha, and Ma'ariv of a regular Shabbos, when you have Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, then you mention Kedushas Hayoim in the middle, and you don't mention the Yalev Yovoy in the Avoida. Omer Rav Huna said, Ein Alocha K'Oisei Azug. The Alocha is not like that pair. Rather, the Alocha is like the Tanakama. The Tanakama say that by Shacharis, Mincha, and Ma'ariv of Shabbos, then you mention the Me'en HaMo'ira, you mention that in the Avoida, but the Halacha is not like the Tanakama regarding Musaf, because the Tanakama say regarding Musaf that you only mention the Kedushas Hayoim, the Yom Tov, the Rosh Chodesh, in the middle of the Bracha. You don't mention it at the end of the Bracha. That means, but for that, we do not hold of the Tanakama of this Braisa, rather we hold of what Rebbe said before, that you, at the end of the middle bracha, you say Mekadesh HaShabbos v'Yisrael v'Hazmanim, or Mekadesh HaShabbos v'Yisrael v'Roshei Chodoshim, in the event that it's Rosh Chodesh. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Chia Bar Ashi, Omer Rav. Maniach Odom Eruvei Tchumin Miyom Tov L'Chaveroi U'Masne. We know that if a person wants to carry on Shabbos or Yom Tov outside the Tchum means the area 2,000 Amos beyond the place of his residence at the onset of Shabbos and Yom Tov. And this is an Eruv that has to be made before Shabbos and Yom Tov starts. And over here, we've got a Yom Tov which is 2 days in Chutz Laretz. It's Thursday, Friday's Yom Tov. He didn't make his Eruv before Yom Tov. It's now Thursday. He wants to know, can he make an Eruv even though it's Yom Tov? The answer is yes and no. Why? Because a two-day Yom Tov, if we break it down, it's really 2 days that we have to practice Yom Tov because we don't know which one is the real Yom Tov. And this is something we've discussed earlier on in the Masechta. So you've got a two-day Yom Tov where it's either Thursday or Friday, even though we practice both of them Yom Tov, but only one of them is really Yom Tov. So he puts this Eruv down on Thursday, which is the first day Yom Tov. Now, if Thursday is the real Yom Tov, you cannot make an Eruv. But if Thursday is the real Yom Tov, then Friday is not Yom Tov. He can make the Eruv on Friday to be valid for Shabbos. If Thursday is not a Yom Tov, you can put down the Eruv on Thursday and it will be valid for Friday for the Yom Tov. So that's what it means. Or Masna, you can make a condition. He puts the Eruv down and he says as follows. If today is Yom Tov, then the Eruv I'm putting down now is not valid. And tomorrow when I put the Eruv down again, because tomorrow will not be Yom Tov, the Eruv will be valid. And if today is not Yom Tov, then I want this to be a valid Eruv. That's the condition that he can make, and it's valid, so says Rav. Omar Rava. Rava moves to a different type of Eruv, not an Eruv Tchumin, but an Eruv Tavshilin. As we've been discussing, a person is not normally allowed to cook on Yom Tov for after Yom Tov. However, if Yom Tov is on Erev Shabbos on Friday, or Thursday, Friday, and you want to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, then if you make an Eruv Tavshilin, which means you start cooking for Shabbos before Yom Tov, you can continue cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos. But what happens if you forgot to make the Eruv Tavshilin on Wednesday, which is Erev Yom Tov, and it's now Yom Tov Thursday, Friday, what can he do? So Omar Rava, Rava says, Maniach Odom Eruvei Tavshilin Miyom Tov Lechaveiroi Umasne. He can put the Eruv Tavshilin down, make the Eruv Tavshilin on Thursday, and say as follows. If today is the real Yom Tov, Thursday, this Eruv Tavshilin is number one, invalid, because you cannot make an Eruv Tavshilin on Yom Tov, and number two, not necessary, because if today is the real Yom Tov, then tomorrow, Friday, is not the real Yom Tov, and I can then cook on Friday for Shabbos without a problem. If today, Thursday, is not the real Yom Tov, I want this to be the Eruv Tavshilin to allow me to cook on Friday for Shabbos. And that's the masna, that's the condition he puts down when he makes his Eruv Tavshilin on the Thursday. Says the Gemara, Man da'oma Eruvei Tchumin, Rav who says that you can make this condition regarding Eruvei Tchumin, Kolshken Eruvei Tavshilin, then of course he'll agree that even Eruv Tavshilin you can make with such a condition, which is what Rava said. However, Man da'oma Eruvei Tavshilin, Rava who said that you can make this condition regarding Eruv Tavshilin, Aval Eruvei Tchumin loy. However, he may well hold that Eruvei Tchumin is more stringent, and therefore you're not allowed to make an Eruv Tchumin on Yom Tov in such a fashion, even though it's true that the 2 days of Yom Tov are each day is just a suffix, but Lemaisa, the Chachomim said, both days have to be treated as Yom Tov, and making an Eruv Tchumin on Yom Tov is more stringent than making an Eruv Tavshilin. And because the Issa of Tchumin is more stringent than the Issa of cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos. The Issa of cooking on Yom Tov to Shabbos is only an Issa de Rabbonon. However, Tchumin is more serious than that. And therefore, he may well hold that Eruvei Tavshilin you can do with such a type of combination, but Eruv Tchumin not. My time away, the lemikne shvisa b'shabbato, because in order to acquire a place of residence, which is what Eruv Tavshilin, which is what Eruv Tchumin does, b'shabbato, referring here to Yom Tov, that to make an Eruv Tchumin on Yom Tov is something which they did not allow, because making an Eruv Tchumin, acquiring residence, is something which is much more severe and something which we don't want them to do on Yom Tov, and therefore, we'd even for the covered Shabbos, even in order to be allow a person for the sake of Shabbos to be go outside the Tchum on Shabbos, we don't let him. However, to make an Eruv Tavshilin is an easier thing to do. It's not so challenging on Yom Tov to cook for Shabbos, and therefore, for the sake of Shabbos, for covered Shabbos, they allowed to make an Eruv Tavshilin. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. Ein oifin miyom tov lechaveiroi, you're not allowed to bake bread from one day Yom Tov to the other day Yom Tov. However, Be'emes Omru, they said, that Memale Isha Kol HaKedera Bosor, a woman is allowed to fill up a whole pot of meat, even though she only really needs one piece of meat for Yom Tov, you can fill up the whole pot on the first day of Yom Tov, or on Yom Tov, even though you know there's going to be some, or most of it is going to be left over for after Yom Tov. Rashi says, since it's a single effort, chad tircha, therefore it's okay, since you're not adding any more effort, you're not doing more work and effort for after Yom Tov, it's allowed. And similarly, Mamale Nachto im Chovis Shel Maim, a baker is allowed to fill up a barrel with water, Afal Pishein Etzarech Elo Lekito in Echod, even though he only needs a single jug of it, because filling up the barrel is the same effort to fill it up with a little bit or to fill it up a lot, then you're allowed to. Avalefois, but when it comes to baking the loaves, Eina Eifa Elo Masha Tzarech Lo, you're only allowed to put into the oven the breads you actually intend using or need for Yom Tov, because every extra loaf is an extra effort to bake it, to knead it, to prepare it, to bake it, to then remove it from the oven. All that extra effort is not allowed if you don't need it for Yom Tov. Reb Shimon ben Elozo argues and says, Memale isha kol ha-tanur pas, a woman is allowed to fill the entire oven with bread, even though she only maybe needs a single loaf. Because typically the ovens were small, and the more breads that were stuck to the walls of the oven, which is the way they would bake, the less air space there would be in the oven. The less air space, the more concentrated the heat will be. The more concentrated the heat will be, the better the breads will be baked. And therefore, in order to bake the one loaf that you need in a very good way, you're allowed to fill up the rest of the oven with loaves. Omar Rava said, Alocha Reb Shimon ben Elozo, that's the Alocha, like Reb Shimon ben Elozo says, that a woman is allowed to fill up the entire oven with bread, even though she doesn't need it all on Yom Tov. Asks the Gemara, Iboilu, following question, Mi shelo yiniach iruvei tavshilin, somebody who did not put down an Eruv Tavshilin is Erev Yom Tov. Yom Tov is either Friday or Thursday, Friday in Chutz Laretz, and this person wants to now prepare on Yom Tov for after Yom Tov for Shabbos, but he didn't make an Eruv Tavshilin. What's the story? Hu Nesar v'Kimchay Nesar, Oy Dilma, Hu Nesar v'En Kimchay Nesar. A person who didn't make an Eruv Tavshilin is definitely not allowed to cook or bake based on an Eruv Tavshilin he didn't make. However, if this person, this Reuven, who didn't make an Eruv Tavshilin, but he's got flour in his home, is somebody else allowed to take Reuven's flour that somebody else did make an Eruv Tavshilin? Are you allowed to take Reuven's flour and bake it? Or do we say no? Reuven didn't make an Eruv Tavshilin, you're not even allowed to cook his flour. And if you want to cook bread for him, you actually have to do an act of acquiring the flour. He has to give it to you as a gift, make a kinyan, acquire it. Once it's legally yours, you can do what you want with it. But all the while it belongs to him, maybe you're not allowed to cook it or bake it because he didn't make an Eruv Tavshilin. That's the question. Hu Nesar V'Kimchay Nesar? Do we say that not only he is not allowed to cook or bake based on an Eruv Tavshilin he didn't make, but also his flour? Oy Dilma, maybe not. Hu Nesar, only he cannot bake. V'Ein Kimchay Nesar, but his kemach, his flour, did not become osar. L'may nafgemina, what halachic ramification will there be? La'knuye kimchay la'achirim, whether you have to transfer ownership of the flour to somebody else if somebody else wants to make the bread for Reuven. If you say that the flour also became osar, tzorich la'knuye kimchay la'achirim, if you want somebody to make him bread with his flour, he's going to have to transfer the ownership of it to his friend, to somebody else. V'yomras, however, if you say hu nesar ve'in kimchay nesar, that he's not allowed to bake, but somebody else is allowed to bake for him, then lo tzorich la'knuye kimchay la'achirim, he would not have to then transfer the ownership to somebody else. Somebody else can just use Reuven's flour and make the bread. My, what's the halacha? That's the question of the Gemara. Tosh Shema, we're going to try and bring proof. Mi shelo yiniach eruv tavshilin. The Braisa says as follows. If somebody did not make an eruv tavshilin, harei ze lo yefa, he's not allowed to bake V'lo yevashel, he's not allowed to cook. V'lo yatmin, he's not allowed to insulate. They used to insulate certain foods by totally submerging it into other foods or by totally insulating a pot. We learned about hatmona in Maseches Shabbos. Then it's what you're not allowed to do hatmona on Shabbos. And so somebody who didn't do an Erev Tavshilin is not allowed to do hatmona either. Loi loi, not him himself, v'loi la'achirim, and not for some, nor can he do it for somebody else if he didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, v'loi achirin, and this is the important point, that neither can other people be oifin u'mevashlin loi. They cannot bake or cook for him. What should he do if he needs somebody who has made an Erev Tavshilin to cook for him? He should transfer the ownership of his flour to those other people, and then they can bake it for him. They can bake for him, or they can cook for him. So what do we see in this braisa? Shma mina. We see from here, hu nesar v'kimchoi nesar. It's clear that not only is he not allowed to cook or bake, neither is his flour allowed to be cooked or baked, all the while it's under his ownership. He has to transfer the ownership to somebody else who has done an Erev Tavshilin, and then they can cook or bake for him. Shma mino, indeed, that is a solid proof. So asks the Gemara, Boyelu, another question the Gemara asks. Ovar v'ofo, if this person, he transgressed what the Chachomim said. The Chachomim said, if you want to cook or bake on Yom Tov for Shabbos, you must make an Erev Tavshilin. This person, he ignored that. And he did bake on Yom Tov for Shabbos. My, what's the halacha? Is he allowed to eat it on Shabbos or not? Toshma, we're going to try and bring proof from a braisa. Mi shelo yeniach Eruv Tavshilin, keitzad u'oisa. Somebody who didn't make an Eruv Tavshilin, what should he do? He needs to eat something on Shabbos. Makne kimchei la'achirim, he should transfer the ownership of his flour to other people. V'achirin oifin lo, and other people can bake for him. U'mevashlim lo, and they can cook for him. That's what it says in the braisa. The Gemara is saying, V'i isya, if it's true that if he did bake, that he's allowed to eat it, even though he did it against what the Chachomim said, he didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. Listener, why didn't the braisa say, Ovar v'ofo, if he transgressed what the Chachomim said and he did bake, mutar, that he's allowed to eat it? Why is this detail omitted from the braisa? So Omar of Adabar Masna, Rabbi Adabar Masna says there's no proof from that braisa. It could well be that the braisa is telling you what you should do, not what the halacha is if you do what you shouldn't do. The braisa says, Keitzad u'oisa, what should he do in a permitted way? What he should do is he should transfer the ownership to somebody else and let that somebody else bake for him. Tona tekanta de hatera ktoni. The braisa is telling us what to do in a permitted fashion. Tekanta de insuraba, what happens if you got out of your dilemma in a prohibited way? Leikatoni, that's not what the braisa was coming to teach us. So you do not have proof from that braisa. Tashma, we're trying to bring proof from a different braisa. Mi sheiniach Eruv Tavshilin, somebody who made an Eruv Tavshilin, hareze oifa, he can bake, umavashal, he can cook, umatmin, and he could insulate the food, hatmona. V'im rotzo lechol es eruvoi. Once he's finished cooking or baking and doing what he needs to do, he then wants to eat the Eruv food, the part of the food that he initially used for his Eruv Tavshilin, Horoshus Beyodo, he has permission to do that. Ochloi, if however he ate the Eruv, Acheloi Ofo, before he baked, Acheloi Hitmin, or before he did Hatmona, and the Bach says you have to add in here also Acheloi Bishel, or before he cooked, Hareze Loi Yefa. He's not allowed to bake, v'lo yevashel, he's not allowed to cook, v'lo yatmin, he's not allowed to insulate the food. Loi loi, not for himself, v'lo yachirim, not for others, v'lo yachirin oifin u'mevashlin loi. Nor can others bake, cook, or insulate his food for him. Aval mevashel hu leyomtev. What he can do is, he can cook for yomtev, because it's yomtev. In yomtev you can cook for yomtev. V'im hoisir, if there's any leftovers, hoisir leshabbos, he's allowed to leave it over, and he's allowed to eat the leftovers on Shabbos. And we're obviously talking about here doing extra efforts. He's not doing any extra efforts. We saw before that if cooking more does not involve any extra efforts, we said that this person can cook a whole pot of meat, even though he only needs one piece. We're talking here about when preparing for Shabbos would involve extra effort. You're not allowed to do that because he hasn't gotten Erev Tavshilin, but if he has leftovers from Yom Tov, he can eat them on Shabbos. Uvilvad shelo yarim, on condition that he doesn't do this type of a scheme. He doesn't like say to himself that, you know, I have one pot, and then he says, oh, I've cooked this pot for Yom Tov, and then he says, no, I've actually changed my mind. I want a different pot for Yom Tov. So he's like playing a game, so to speak, in order he should have more leftovers in order to have food for Shabbos that he's not allowed to do. The question is, and the Braita says, v'im herim, but if he did make this scheme, he did bluff it and say, I changed my mind, what I cooked before, I don't want for Yom Tov, I want to cook something else for Yom Tov. If he played this scheme, osur. He's not allowed to eat it on Shabbos. So you see clearly from here that if you cooked on Yom Tov and then it's for Shabbos and you don't have an Erev Tavshilin, you're not allowed to eat it. Osur. You're not allowed to eat it. So it would seem to be proof from here for our question we said before. We asked, are you allowed to eat it if Ovar V'Ofor? The answer is no. Omer Vashir Vashi says no. You don't have proof from here. Haroma ka'omrus, you're trying to prove from a case where he did haroma, he was deceiving. He didn't blatantly say, I'm going against what the Chachomim say, and I'm cooking or baking, even though I don't have an Eruv Tavshilin. No, he's saying, oh no, I'm changing my mind. He's playing a game. Playing a game is called haroma. Shani haroma de ichmiru barabonon tfeimi mezid. The Chachomim were more stringent with people who are distorting Torah than people who are going against the Torah b'mezid intentionally. And Rashi explains, because if you did it intentionally, he's a Rasha. If he's a Rasha, number one, no one's going to learn from him. Number two, he's at some point he's going to pay attention to the fact that he's going against the Torah, against the Chachomim. He'll do tshuva and he'll mend his ways. And therefore, it could be the Chachomim were not so stringent on him. But somebody who's playing games and is distorting Torah and trying to say, oh no, what I cooked before, I don't want that for Yom Tov, I want something else for Yom Tov. And he's playing games. If he's playing games, number one, others are going to learn from him, thinking it's okay. Number two, he himself is going to think it's okay, and therefore he's not going to do tshuva. And therefore, it could be in that case, imherim osur, indeed it's osur. So you don't have proof from this brisa. Rashi actually says that the haroma that he's doing is he's saying, oh, I need some more, maybe guests will come. Oh, it's still not enough, maybe more guests will come. He's doing some type of haroma, something he's making a claim which is not straight. Says the Gemara, another way of disproving from this braisa, either like Rav Ashi says, you cannot prove haroma to Mezid, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Omar, ho mani chananyahi. It could well be that this braisa that says imherim osor, it could be that haroma and Mezid is the same. And indeed you have proof from here that if you cooked without an Erev Tavshilin, it's osor. But it still won't help us, because we know that Beis Shammai, they had a more stringent opinion regarding Eruvei Tchumin, Eruvei Tavshilin. So it could well be the author of this braisa is Beis Shammai, and we're asking according to Beis Hillel. What would Beis Hillel hold about somebody who was Ovar V'Ofa? Homani Chananyahi, Valibu de Beis Shammai. Maybe this is Chananya and Chananya's opinion of Beis Shammai. The Tanya, we learned in a braisa. We're going to see this later on. Chananya Oimir, Beis Shammai Oimrim, Beis Shammai hold. According to Chananya, Beis Shammai say, Ein Oifin Elim Kein Irev Bepas. According to Beis Shammai, you can only bake on Yom Tov for Shabbos if the Erev Tavshilin you made was with something baked, with bread. Vein Mevashlim, and you can only cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, Elim Kein Irev Betavshil, only if you made an Erev Tavshilin with a cooked item. Vein Toimnin, you can only insulate the food on Yom Tov for Shabbos, Elim Kein, Hoyu Chamin Tmunin Me'erev Yom Tov, only if you did Hatmona as your Erev Tavshilin. Beis Hillel, however, are more lenient and say no. Ma'ariv, you can make an Erev Betavshil Echod with a single cooked food, Va'oisabai Kol Tzorka, and you can do with it whatever you want. On Yom Tov for Shabbos, you can even bake with it and do Hatmona with it. It's okay. So you see here, according to Chananya, Beis Shammai are more stringent by Eruv Tavshilin. So maybe the braisa that says Imherim Osir is Beis Shammai, and the question was, what would Beis Hillel hold? Says the Gemara Toshima. The Gemara is going to try and bring proof from a Mishnah. None we learnt in a Mishnah. Hamaaser Peirosov B'Shabbos. We know that you're not allowed to take Trumas and Maestras on Shabbos. What happens if somebody took Trumas and Maestras on Shabbos? And it's Nesu Derabonon. B'Shoigig, if he did it by mistake, Yechel, he's allowed to eat it. B'Mezid, if he did it intentionally, Lo Yechel, he's not allowed to. So what do we see from here? That even at the expense of Oinek Shabbos, we're not going to let him eat from the food that he took Trumas and Maestros from on Shabbos. So we'll assume the same applies to Eruv Tavshilin. Cooking without Eruv Tavshilin is an Osu Darabonon. If he did it b'mezid, lo yechal, he's not allowed to eat. Says the Gemara, no, lo tzricha de isle peire achrina. It could be that Mishnah is talking about where he's got other food for Shabbos, and therefore it's not necessary to allow him to eat these fruits on Shabbos, since he took Trumas and Maestros in a way that was osur. However, Eruv Tavshilin, if he cannot cook, or now that he's cooked, he doesn't have anything else to eat on Shabbos, and it's true that he shouldn't have cooked because he didn't make an Eruv Tavshilin, but if you don't let him eat this, he's going to be lacking in his Oinek Shabbos, maybe it'll be mutter. So you don't have proof from that Braisa, from that Mishnah. Toshima, we're going to try and bring proof from another Mishnah. Hamatbil Kalov, if somebody, let's assume somebody's got a Kalim mikveh, a mikveh that's kosher to toivel Kalim in his chotzer, and he toivels his Kalim, which is an Issa Drabonon to do that, b'Shabbos he does it on Shabbos. B'Shegeg, if he did it by mistake, Yishtamish Behem, he's allowed to use these Kalim on Shabbos. B'Mezid, if he did it intentionally, he knew that he wasn't allowed to do it, he did it nonetheless, even though it's only also midrabbonon, lo yishtamish ben, he's not allowed to use them. So the Gemara is saying, let's assume that cooking without Eruv Tavshilin is similar to Tovelin Kalim on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, no. Loi, tzricha de islei mona achrina. It could be over there we're talking about that he's got other utensils and vessels to use on Shabbos, and not allowing him to use these ones is not going to be at the expense of his oinek Shabbos. If you don't let this person eat the food he made on Yom Tov for Shabbos, he's not going to have food for Shabbos. Inam yo, it could be efshar b'sha'elo. He can borrow utensils. We don't have to allow him to use these kalim that were toiveled Be'isser Drabonon on Shabbos. We don't need to allow him to do that in order for him to have his Shabbos needs. But maybe Erev Tavshilin, we have to be more lenient because he's got nothing to eat on Shabbos. Tashma, we're going to bring another proof from yet another Mishnah. Mavashil b'Shabbos, if somebody cooked on Shabbos, b'Shoigeg, if he did it by mistake, Yoichel, he can eat it on Shabbos. B'Mezid, if he did it intentionally, lo Yoichel, he's not allowed to eat it. So the Gemara is assuming that using food that was baked or cooked on Yom Tov for Shabbos without Erev Tavshilin should be the same as somebody who cooks on Shabbos, and if you did it b'mezid, lo yoichal. Says the Gemara, no. Yisura de Shabbos shani. Cooking on Shabbos is an Issa d'Oraisa, and therefore it's much more serious. You cooked on Shabbos b'mezid, you're not allowed to eat it. However, cooking without an Erev Tavshilin from Yom Tov to Shabbos is only an Issa d'Rabbonon, and therefore it could well be we would be more lenient. Continues the Gemara. B'Shamay Oimrim Shnei Tavshilin. And this takes us back to the Mishnah on Daf Tezvav Amud Beis, is Machlekes in the Mishnah. How many cooked foods do you need for Eruv Tavshilin? B'Shamay say Shnei Tavshilin, you need two. B'Shilil Oimrim Tavshil Echad. B'Shilil say one is enough. Says the Gemara, Masnisin Deloi Kai Tana. Our Mishnah is not like the following Tana of the Braisa. The Tanya Omer B'Shem Ben Elozo. Moedim b'Shamay b'Shilel. According to this brisa, there's no argument between b'Shamay and b'Shilel al shnei tavshilin shetzorich, that you need to have two cooked items for Erev Tavshilin. Al ma nechluku, what they're arguing about, they're arguing a certain case where it's questionable whether something is considered one or two. Al dog ubeitza she'olov, if you have a fish and on it, attached to the fish, you've got an egg that's on it, and it's bottle, it's attached and is almost just an annex to the fish. B'Shamay say it's considered as two fish and egg. B'Shilel say since they're together, bound together as one, and one is toffel to the other, it's considered just a single tavshil. V'shovin, and B'Shilel and B'Shamay both agree, shem pirpir beitza, that if you mashed a boiled egg, v'nosan etoicha dog, and you put it inside the fish, and there it's not like annexed to the fish, it's not attached to the fish, it's just one thing inside the other fish, one thing inside the other, but it's clearly two food items. Or in the case, Sherise kaflutois, if he minced kaflutois, v'nosan etoicha dog, and he put it inside the fish, shehen shnei tavshilin, that they both agree it's considered two tavshilin, and it suffices. So in our Mishnah, where B'Shilel say one cooked item is enough, it's not like this Braisa that says that even according to B'Shilel, you need two. Omar Rava said, Hilchasa Katana Didon, the halacha is like the Tana of our Mishnah, v'alibba de Basil, like Basil, that single cooked item is enough. Continues the Gemara, ochloy u'sha'ova, d'areze lo yivashil olov v'chulu. We saw that again, the end of the Mishnah, the final statement in the Mishnah, that if the Eruv Tafshilin got eaten or lost before he cooked on Yom Tov Shabbos, lo yivashil olov b'tchilo, he should not cook on them based on the Eruv Tafshilin, he shouldn't cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. V'mshir rimenu kol shu, however, if there's a little bit left over, soymich olov l'shabbos, he can rely on what's left over for Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Omar Abaya, Noktinon hischil b'isosoy v'nechal iruvoy geimer. Abaya says that if you already started making the dough whilst the Eruv Tafshilin was still existing, then you're allowed to, and then the Eruv Tafshilin got eaten up, geimer is allowed to continue making the dough and baking it, even though when he actually finishes the process, the Eruv Tafshilin no longer exists. That doesn't matter. Since when he started, there was an Eruv Tafshilin, he's allowed to continue. And Yemirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.